already talking to our connection here at the hotel about getting that room where that we have children. We mentioned it Tuesday each week. So because we want to plan for overflow room, but we also want to do training and classes in that room. Now each week means we got to increase our budget by several hundred dollars a month, because that having that extra room is an extra expense, right? So I want you to just believe God with us, amen, that we're going to invest into building the church by having it available for overflow, because, you know, once we get online, we can get YouTube over there. And so people, if we have enough seats here filled up, with people can sit over there. But also, you know, mothers can take their children and comfort them during the service, or the situation where we can have training classes in the morning where we don't have a lot of disruption. So we can do training, which we need to do with our ministry teams. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so that's what we want to do. Amen. And so we want you to agree with us, but also believe and partner with us that we can step up and get the resources of the room space we need to provide for overflow or for training and things of that nature. Amen? I only got a couple of you saying amen. Everybody's solemn or quiet. People looking at the screen. Amen. Are you here this morning? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're wanting to do, and we solicit your prayers and your agreement in faith with us for that reason. Amen. We hadn't made the final decision. We're just kind of waiting for the clearance from the Holy Spirit to get it done. But that's kind of in our heart to do. And so think of it from February on for the rest of the year, we'll have this space, and that room. Or if we get moved to the ballroom, we'll have ballroom A in that space. We'll have two rooms to be managing. Amen? All right. So praise God. Everybody good? All right. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. Everybody say, God's got good thoughts. God's got peaceful thoughts, and to give you an expected end. And in other words, hope in a future. Praise the Lord. Amen. New Living Translation says, I know the plans I have for you. Everybody say, God has plans. So God's a planner. Planning is winning. God is into you and me winning. He's into you and I walking in victory, blessing, and triumph in 2026. Everybody say, God's got plans. So he says, I know the plans. So he didn't wait till you showed up in 2026. He already had a plan for yours and my life for 2026. And he said, they are plans for good and not disaster, and to give you a future and a hope. That means your best days are ahead of you according to God's plan. Come on now. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Your best days and your most blessed days are ahead of you because of God's plan. God has a plan for this to be your best days. You're not supposed to be looking back and say, man, what about those times back then? No, you want to be looking at, wow, look what God has planned for me. Look at what God has prepared for me. My future is bright and there's no end in sight. Praise God. So he's got plans for you. Not for good, that not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now the context is important, because he says this is how you get the plan. Because you know this, because you put your faith that I have this for you. He said, then shall you call to me. And you shall go and pray to me. How many know that's our responsibility? You got to call God. You can't call your friends. You can't even call your spouse in one sense of the word. You got to call him. Because this is personal. this is intimate relationship with you and the Father. You got to call him. You got to pray to him. And he says he will hearken to you. And you shall seek me. So that's our responsibility. And find me when you shall search for me with all your what? He didn't say search Google. He didn't say use ChatGPT. Thank God for the technology. But he says technology won't give you the plan. He said, I hold the plan. I have the plan. Hallelujah. So everybody should be, in this time of the year, getting clarity. Getting a clear focus on his glorious good plan. So when does God hear you? We said, when you pray. Don't pray? Are you expecting to get answers? God says the requirement is you call me. You pray to me. He didn't say even say call your pastor. He said pray to me. Call me. This requires our faith and confident expectation and earnestness. That means you got to do it with all your heart. We just read it. So that means you've got to be fully engaged, fully vested into this. Amen. You're not going to get it the other ways. You're not going to shortcut it or circumvent the process. You have to call on God. You have to pray to God. You have to individually set some time away to seek God. Praise the Lord. When do you find God? When you seek him and search for him with all your heart, because you have to believe that God has a good plan for you. Do we all believe that? So if you believe God has it, then you go to him. You have to believe that God has a superior and better plan for you, your family, your future in 2026 than you have had. See, some people look back. And I like what Smith Wigglesworth said, never look back if you want to see the power of God. And I'll add to his statement, never look back if you want to experience the power, presence, and peace of God. Stop looking back to when I, or when so-and-so was around. God has a good plan for you now. He has a better plan for your future now. Praise the Lord, than you ever had. So you have to trust God and release your faith in God, and he will give you his glorious good plan for 2026. God's plan is not retribution. He's not looking back and say, you messed up. You ran off the reservation. You really screwed up your life last year, 2024. He's not saying, I'm not punishing you. He said, I know the plan. It's good. It's good to give you a hope and a future, to give you an expected end. Hallelujah. So God gives us restoration. That means we get to start over and start the year being restored, being recovered, and being renewed to the place God intentionally and originally had for you. I'm not trying to push you back or put you down. I'm trying to bring you up. Higher flow. New graces. New places. New faces. Whew, that was just enough good to come comb your hair and come to church today. Everybody got that? Now look at this. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. What does it say? Where there is no what? The people what? But he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now listen to the in the New Living Translation. Just listen to it. It's not up there. You just put NLT, and then I'm giving you an amplified class. It says, when the people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Now none of us would probably raise our hand and say, I want a running wild 2026. I don't want to run wild, because when you run wild, your money gets funny and you run out of money. You're always broke and busted, and you're going from crisis to crisis to crisis. You don't want to run wild in your health. Does anybody want to run wild in your health? And you're going to more to the doctor that and you got more pills than you and more doctor's appointments, because your health is going in and out, up and down. You're sick and you're not sick. When you don't accept divine guidance, you run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. That means you have a joyful year, not a crazy, drama, traumatic year. All right, Amplified Classic says this: where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Ah, so now he says divine guidance in one, and in another one he says a redemptive revelation of God. In other words, you got to see what God's doing. You got to see what God has planned. You got to see what God has prepared for you personally. And because if you have responsibility like family and spouse and church responsibilities or even job responsibilities, but you can you have plan on different dimensions and different levels. God has a plan for your marriage. He doesn't want your marriage to go stale or stagnant or stuck or go into a slump. Oh, I'm not getting any help right there. God has a plan. Somebody say, God has a plan. He wants you to have heaven on earth in your home. And it starts with your marriage. He wants you to take you to the next level of love and intimacy in your marriage. Next level of love in your family. To where your house is an oasis of love. You have an atmosphere of love. You have an attitude of love. You have the application of love. And you have the actions of love happening in your house. In other words, if people want to see 1 Corinthians 13 being lived out and walked out, they look at your house. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Because you got love, never fails, never fades out, never comes obsolete, never comes to an end. I'm getting over into next month's stuff. But let me back up here. Amen. Where there's no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But who keeps the law, including that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. So we have this thing that we handed out to you today. If everybody can just hold it up and look at it. It is your vision sheet. Everybody got it? Everybody say, I got it. Because we're going to get into a portion where the Bible says, write the vision. Write the vision. Now, if we were to do a survey or a poll, if we say, where's your vision? If I said, sister, show me your vision. And if you can't show me your vision, you don't have a future. I remember Dr. David Youngie Show said, show me your vision and it will tell me what your future looks like. And when you can't show your vision, that means you don't have any meaningful future. The future is not clear to you. Even though God has a plan, he instructs us to write it down. The faintest of ink is better than the best in memory. And so we give you a little bit of structure and a little bit of context to help get you into visioneering 101. That means you're writing down. Because God is interested in your ministry and service to the kingdom. That's why we put number one, who are you believing to receive Christ or return back to Christ this year? God has an evangelism, personal evangelism plan for you. If you look around and see an empty seat, you take, that's my seat. I'm going to bring somebody. They're going to return. They're going to come to Jesus, and they're going to be serving God right alongside with me this year. Who can tell me how many seconds somebody dies and goes to hell in the world? It's less than 50 seconds. Somebody's always, boom. Going down. Boop, going down. The harvest is ripe, but the labors are few, and we're to be God's laborers into the harvest field of humanity, roundabout Triumph and Work Christian Center, to bring people in. So we even break it down. Who are your Franks, your friends, your relatives, associates, people you work? See, friends are people you're stuck with, or friends are people you play with, excuse me. Your relatives are people you're stuck with. Associations are people you used to work with or do business with or went to school with. Amen. Neighbors are people you live by. Kid connections are people you connected through your kids or grandkids. Social media friends, followers, and even fans today. Many people have hundreds of people that's following them. Some people even have thousands of people. But that's your Franks. That's the people you got to be looking and listening to the Holy Spirit, because Acts 1:8 still is in the Bible. It says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be a witness unto me, Jesus. Witness unto Jesus. A witness for Jesus in Jerusalem. That's your close inner circle of friends and family. Judea. That's the next circle out. Samaria. That's people you don't even know. And to the other marks of parts of the earth. That means you have four missional reaches. And look at Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is the tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives for God, is a fisher of men, and gathers and receives them for eternity. Who are you going to gather and receive for eternity this year? Hallelujah. And we put the scripture references in as you go in and say, Lord, who am I going to win souls for? Then your spiritual growth. Because God is not interested in your faith staying the same. Now, remember, your faith doesn't grow, you should be concerned. And your faith doesn't grow but just by listening and writing notes. Your faith goes by feeding your faith and exercising your faith. You know, exercise is not a dirty word. It's not something, oh, man, I don't want to get out there and walk or go to the gym. No, but you got to exercise your faith. You got to feed your faith and exercise it. You got to come to church knowing, pastors, I've exercised my faith muscles this week. When you leave church, I'm exercising my faith muscles every day. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God for something every day. I'm growing intentionally with my faith. I'm investing in my own growth. My belief is invested in the Word of God for my faith to grow. That's why we give you confessions. That's why we give you resources. That's why we have even books out there. Why? For your faith to grow, not for you to just get puffed up in the head and read information, but where faith growing is you transforming. It's transformation. Everybody's quiet today. And you need to grow spiritual growth goals. You need to have relational growth goals and ministry growth goals. Now let's get to number three here. Physical, mental, and emotional health and fitness. Now, I could meddle, but I'm not going to. But it's important that you deal with, you discipline, and you dominate your body. Remember, we are a trichotomy. That means we are three-part or triune being. We are spirit first. That's the real us. We possess a soul. which is our mind, our will, and emotions. And then we have, and we live in a physical body. When your body ruled, then the Bible calls that carnal. Carnal minded is death. That means the body's in charge, your flesh and your feelings run you, and not your spirit, influenced by the Holy Spirit and through the Word influences you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. So you've got to discipline, deal with, and dominate your body with your newborn, recreated human spirit. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 9, I keep it in subjection. I buffet my body. I keep it in subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself might become cast away. In other words, you need somebody to help you, but you also need to help yourself by making sure that my spirit man takes the ascendancy each morning, so I'm not just succumb or weakened by my flesh and my feelings. And you need good friends that'll challenge you and check you when you get out of line with your flesh and your feelings too much. Because everybody wants, because of what society is teaching us, everybody wants comforters, people that's going to coddle them and carry them because they feel bad. And everybody talks about their feelings. I don't feel good. Or my flesh doesn't like that. I don't want that. You got to stop letting your flesh be out of control or have control. You got to keep the foot on the neck of your flesh and your feelings and say, I feel good, I feel fine. Now, body, get in line. I've often said, if I felt good and felt God at the same time, to come to church, I'd come to church twice a year. You like Smith Wigglesworth. I don't ask how you feeling. You shouldn't be doing that with each other either. You should tell yourself, I'm feeling. You tell yourself how you feel. You tell your body what it's supposed to be doing. Get in line. I know people don't like that. Y'all still love me? Hey, amen. You got to deal with your feelings. You got to say, God is working in me to do his will, good pleasure, satisfaction, my delight. We got to get to a point to where we say feelings are fickle. I'm doing it because I'm in faith. I'm choosing to do it. There's no feelings in that. Hallelujah. Feelings are supposed to color your life and not control your life. All of us have feelings. Jesus was touched with our feelings of our weaknesses, our infirmities. But they're never to control our life. They're only to color our life. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at number four. So if you look at it, mental, so I'm going to say it's number three. Mental. How are you thinking? How's your logic? How's your mental health? We got more Christians going to therapy and having to see a therapist because of the drama and trauma. Why? Because people aren't learning how to renew your mind. They're not learning how to manage their emotions. Because right after Romans 12:1 is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you need to be renewing your mind more than you do your hair every day. Every day you need to be renewing your mind. The only bondage to a believer is the bondage of an unrenewed mind. That means you got stinking thinking. You hadn't did a checkup from the neck up lately. So come on now. Your brain stink. Your thinking is off. And it's mainly because you think wrong about yourself, wrong about who you are and who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. And when you're out of that place, you're out of that grace. And then you fall on your face. So many people get disgruntled because their thinking is off. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. And then your emotional health and fitness. You'll never grow beyond your pain tolerance or pain threshold. Scripturally speaking, we always say it this way, no pain, no gain. Babies can't tank pain. You notice when every little bump and bruise, they start yelling and screaming. Low pain tolerance. If we're going to grow, then you have to be uncomfortable. You got to deal with the uncomfort. Faith is uncomfortable. It's opposite of the American culture, which wants convenience and casual and comfort. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And biblically, we studied Jonah last summer, and we talked about the Jonah model of growth. Some people only change or grow to the size of their problem and never to the level of their potential. Why did Jonah finally repent after 3 days in the big fish? Because he was about to die. He was swimming in seaweed and the stomach ingestion of a big fish. And he's so mad at God, he wouldn't even talk to him for 3 days until he got to repent. And God spared his life and spit him out. Some people only, like Jonah, they only change when there's a big problem that makes them uncomfortable. But they change just to get back to being comfortable. So they only change to the size of their problem. They never change or grow to the level of their potential. What is your potential this morning? What is the level of our potential together as a church family? Unlimited. But change equals pain. And change equals growth. So if you don't endure the pain of change, you never grow. You know, one of my mentors used to tell me, he said, it's painful because if you just become the church, some people think, well, that's good enough. But then when you're required and you're responsible, now you got to come early. And you got to keep showing up because you don't get responsibility unless you're faithful. So you keep showing up. Then you keep showing up. You don't make excuses to not show up. Y'all quiet today. I'm preaching real good this morning. And then you show up early. And then you show up prepared. And you got to remember, back in the day, Pastor Cynthia and I, we had 4 kids. 2 of them were in baby toddler stage. So we had to get them all ready to show up and be at church. And church was a 35-minute drive. From where we were at, Fort Meade, Maryland, to Baltimore, drive into the city, 35 minutes, and we had to set up just like we do here. And I was in charge of the setup team. And I was in charge, so I had to be there at 8:30 in the morning. And then we did 2 services. At some point, we grew to a point where 2 services. And getting kids ready. So we had to pack bags and fill up diaper bags and fill up milk bottles the night before. That was in Virginia. Yes, in Virginia. Yes, I'm sorry, Virginia. That was in Virginia. And then we had to do a class at 9 o'clock, 9:50. So we had to prepare for the class because we did new members class. Set up new members, 2 services. And go home. We're going home at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had to pack lunch for the kids. Was it easy? Was it a little bit painful? And this was sometimes we'd be there 4 days a week. Because on Saturday we did youth. Amen. But some people's emotional threshold is like, man, we're going to church, and they start to think that church is an inconvenience. It's uncomfortable. And they say, no more pain, no more pain. Because that's what the devil will tell you. You got to rest. You got to relax. You got to stay back. And so we pull back. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Are you physically, mentally, emotionally fit? Jesus said in one parable, he said, those that look back are not fit for the kingdom. So God's looking for fit people. If you're fit, you're ready. If you're ready, God can use you. The Lord can use you. But he's not using you if you're looking back to say, well, I'm just going to wait and skate in at the last minute. I'm going to skate in right before 10 o'clock so I don't have to do anything. When we were at our last church before we started this one, we saw the Lord told us be there to help them. It was a real situation where they needed a lot of help. So we went there to help. Well, we knew that we got to do that same thing. We got to show up. Got to show up early. Keep showing up. Got to show up early. Got to show up prepared. They finally gave us a key. You're showing up here early. They gave her a key. She can go in on Thursday and clean the church. She did it all by herself. Nobody asking her. She said, I'm helping. That's help. We help with this. We help with that. We help with that. We help with that. There was no limit or restriction to helping. Amen. And we showed up, and I used to say, okay, you don't have to cut the air conditioner on. You don't have to start the coffee and the hot chocolate, because he liked hot chocolate, the pastor did. You don't have to get the mints. I'll get the mints. I'll get everything set up. Set up your keyboard. Then they need help with the radio. I'll help with that. Didn't know what I was doing, but I had to learn that back there. Why? He said, help. He didn't put a caveat on it. I says, Holy Spirit, you're the greatest helper, so I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. Everybody say it with me. I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. That keeps you, because you're not looking at, okay, what's not getting done, what's getting done, what's this. You're not there to spectate and critique and criticize everything. You're here to help. You're here to learn. You're here to grow. You're not here to judge. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's look at number four, time allocation. Sometimes people ask, how do you get all that stuff done? How do you do that? Well, I allocate time. God, I ask God to redeem the time. And when you give your time to God, he will help you to redeem it. Praise God. When you give your time to God, he will help you to redeem it. You know, I'm at the point now, it doesn't matter if I have to miss a game I want to see or miss something I want to look at, because I have allocated time. The biggest, greatest commodity we all have is T-I-M-E. So we have to allocate our time. We're not called to waste time or squander time. Two times in the New Testament, he says, redeem the time. That means make the most of every opportunity. I even asked the Lord, how much time do I have? Particularly in this role as a pastor, this church, how much time? He said, "There's the future is bright." And this is how he responded to me, brother. He said, "The future is bright. There's no end in sight. Keep on course. Step up. Step it up." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Is this okay? We're just doing good talk today. Good teaching you today. Amen. So you got to manage your time. Some people say, "Where's the time go?" No, but you have to manage it. You got to manage it. And sometimes we get behind on our reading, you know, behind on our praise, behind on our thanksgiving. All it boils down into is a mismanagement of time, a misallocation of time. Everybody has 24-hour days. It's what you do in those discretionary hours. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, financial increase, abundance, and generosity. Right? We said it last week. You got to pay God. Everybody say, pay God. That means give to God. That means pay and pay yourself. Everybody say, pay yourself. And then pay your bills. That's the word that he's directed us to. And we gave you, what, five elements of stewardship. Anybody remember what we said last week? What was the five elements? First one is stewardship elements. First one is the job. Everybody say the job. The job. That means God gives us something to labor in. That means something that God gives us. What is your job? So if we went down again, took an inventory and said, what was your job this week? He said, well, I don't know. I don't go to work. I'm retired. No, wrong answer. Because there is a work that God has for you, even though you're not employed by a man or a company or a corporation or a business, you still have work in the kingdom. Remember, he said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers or the workers are few. That means there's no unemployment in the body of Christ. It just means that people have refused to go to work. God has work for you to labor in with your own hands. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 that you are to steal no more. Let him who stole steal no more. Because some people steal by withholding the work that is supposed to generate increase, generate income. In all labor, Proverbs says, there is profit. How much labor? All labor. That means manual labor, spiritual labor. Come on now. Laboring in the word. There's different kinds of labor. In all labor, there is profit. That means there's increase in labor. So when you labor doing what the Lord told you to do, even though you don't have a job to clock into or a job or business to report into, you're not employed, naturally speaking, but you are employed and are to be deployed in the body of Christ. And that job generates increase on income. And that's where you return the second element, which is the tithe. Everybody say the tithe. So let me give you all five real quick before I forget. So it's the job first, then the tithe second, then the what? The seed. The budget, excuse me, sorry, the budget. Budget's third. Then the seed is fourth, and then the vision is fifth. I'm getting to that vision one. Everybody say tithe. I mean job. Tithe. Budget. Seed. And vision. Those are your five elements of biblical stewardship. The tithe is turning back to the Lord. What you've generated by increase or income. He starts with 10%. 10% is God's way of raising his children, not just raising money. He was raising you and I by being generous, and he starts at 10%. Training wheels of giving, 10%. Then he says, you do your budget. So that's written, something, a plan to address your needs, to pay your needs, your bills. And pay yourself. You should have a savings budget, an investment budget. Don't invest until you saved. You save for emergencies, to have a reserves. The concept is this. Corporately, you agree with us to get our reserves built up, and then you also correspondingly release your faith for your own reserves to get built up. So you go up from 1 week to 1 month to 3 months to 6 months to a year. He wants your storehouses to be blessed, Deuteronomy 28, right? He wants to bless you in your storehouses, more than one. Amen. And then you invest as the Lord directs you into things that you, your money works harder for you than you working hard for money. Whew. Y'all making me work too much this morning. Somebody say glory to God. And then the last thing is you have what, number six. So the vision is, what does God's vision for you financially? I'm telling you right now, the tell of vision, tell you how to vision, will have an idea for your money. The social media vision will tell you what to do with your money. The Amazon vision will tell you what to do with your money. Because once you get money, it'll tell you, if you don't have a vision, you have no meaning for future, and you run wild. So what happens with your money? You start thinking about everything I want to get, everything I want to buy, everything I want to do. And there's no clear focus on what you need to do. You got to have a vision. Sometimes God may say, I want you to give $50,000 this year, or I want you to be a pillar partner and getting that new church off the ground. But I'm going to put you in a position where you get millions of dollars coming through your hands. But God will get it to you if he can get it through you. Somebody say hallelujah. And then you got to have a dream. What's your dream? And so you list your overall goals. Everybody good? And then we got the things for the church so everybody can be on the same page and everybody can see the same thing and believe and operate in faith in the same thing. Now, look at this at the bottom. Back to the next screen, guys. Back to the next screen, last screen. I didn't cover that. So it's one thing to get a vision. It's yet another to be able to maintain it. Can everybody say amen? Amen. So you got to take heed to yourself. And these 3 points I'm giving you right here at the bottom. Everybody got it? See them? To help maintain and keep the vision alive. Because most people by March, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the vision is. I don't know what I'm doing. The reason we write it down is so you can refresh yourself to it. And you can enable the Lord to refresh it and renew it to you just like it just came. Hallelujah. Everybody say contentment. Contentment. That means you don't despise your calling when God reveals it to you. There's no inferior callings. Don't be a follower of what other people are doing. Be a follower of God. Your calling is not to make you popular now. Make you productive. So stick to it. Say amen. And God doesn't call you to and then leave you to fend for yourself. You got to see how important this is. Amen. He would have deposited within you. He deposited in you the inherited abilities that you will be able to stand in triumph. Every calling glorifies God, but it also lifts the person who's called. Romans 11:29. Write that down again. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. We say it's irrevocable, irreversible, and irreplaceable. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, irreplaceable, and irreversible. Praise the Lord. So you're destined to be a star in the area of your calling. I'm called to be a pastor teacher. Halfway through at the 10-year mark of pastoring, God got on me. He said, you're not in the perfect will of God. I said, well, you think, what am I doing, Pastor? I mean, Lord? Lord, what am I doing? He said, you're magnifying the teaching office and not the pastoral office. It's out of order. And when things are out of order, I think somebody taught that in one of the Don did. when she did the offering teaching last week. When things are out of order, you open the door. And I sure did. I opened the door to sickness and all kind of stuff. God, what's wrong? I'm doing what you asked me to do. He said, no, you're doing it out of order. He said, you've fallen in love and gotten comfortable with the teaching gift and not developed in the pastoral gift. This is my conversation with the Lord. See, the permissive will of God will open the door. God wants us to be in the perfect will of God. That's why he gives you clear vision or gives you vision so you can know exactly who I am in Christ, and who I am in the body of Christ. Praise God, because you step out of your office or step down out of your place in your grace, you open the door. He's a God of order. So you got to stay in your calling. Stay in your gifting. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Don't make the mistake like I did. Because it takes you years to recover from that stuff. Know your rank and maintain it. Do not place yourself beyond where God has placed you. Know those ahead of you and accord them with the honor that it is due to them. Amen. You got to be very discerning of why am I here at Triumph Word Christian Center. You got to know your grace and know your place and know your part. Amen. And stick with it. So everybody say contentment. Amen. Consistency. Consistency is to be consistent in your calling. There is the path for each person. Walk in yours. The army of God, God said, don't raise up an army here at Triumph Word. He said, raise up an audience. He said, raise up an army. See, we could go to all these church growth conferences and all these other things and do through marketing and manipulation, and we can have this church 200, 300, just like that. But God says, that's not the plan. That's not the path. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, I didn't call you to raise up an audience. I called you to raise up an army. And it's an army of specialists. So every one of you have something special from God to contribute to the kingdom at TWCC. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So those who receive the vision, you do it with precision, intentionality. Amen. And stay consistent with it. I can't do your vision. And no vision is fulfilled automatically. So you got to run with it. Not going around minding other people's business, but mind your business. The danger and the disaster of social media is that you're looking at everybody else's stuff, listening to everybody else's calling and vision, and not tending to your own vision and the vision of this house. Because you're quick to quote other preachers and other ministers. But if the Bible says in Revelations 2 and 3, 7 times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to what? The churches. That means the local church. What is God saying to you here? Amen. So even when other people go wrong, leave them to God. That's what God called them to do. So you got people texting and reposting stuff other people say, and they're critiquing them. Get out of that stuff. Be less concerned about how others are running. Referees don't win the prize. That's not your job. Your job is to run with the vision. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And that location is here. So everybody's called to a place. God prepares the place before he prepares the person and the people. God told us when we were in California, come to San Antonio. We thought it was San Marcos, which was about 20 miles up from where we were in San Diego. And remember that? And he said, no, that's not your there. It's not 25, 30 miles up the highway. It's in another state. And we said, San Antonio, we never been here. But he said, go here. Aren't y'all thankful we went here, came here? Somebody say, praise the Lord. That was our location. So God prepares the place before he sends the people and the person. God prepared the place for Adam before he put Adam in the garden. And he pointed out, this is what I've done for you. This is your work right here. God hasn't changed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So you can't despise this location. You can't look at this. Some people get excited about what everybody's doing in other places. Stop getting so excited about them. Get excited about where God puts you. Amen. All right. I know it's coming out a little strong, but so just everybody good? One more thing. Go to the next slide, guys. Next slide. We'll close with this. I think I'm out of time. Okay. This is a general aim for us. Now, and faith requires movement. So we're moving in four main areas generally as a church. Believing in Jesus, born again, baptized water, being and staying spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And people can tell when you're not filled. That's an important thing for us because we're not only just a word church, but we're a Holy Spirit church. Belonging to his family, committed attendance, big deal. Covenant church membership, big deal. Committed covenant relationship and responsibilities within the church family, big deal. Because irresponsibility relationally always breeds perpetual pain and problems in the family or a church family. Because people just don't want to assume those responsibilities and be a partaker or a partner in the family. They just want to be a freeloader. Everybody say it with me. No spiritual shoplifting. You don't go and eat at what's the restaurant? 54th Street and go pay at Cheddar's. So people want to come, but they don't want to be a partner or a partaker. I said it last week. It's a travesty that there was a good number of people that came through the last half of the year. None of them tithed, and some of them didn't give a dime. We can't have spiritual shoplifting. We got to see that we belong to the family. That means I'm assuming responsibilities within that family. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then we become his disciple. We faithfully participate in worship services. We discipleship sessions, Bible studies, classes, prayer, training, follow the truth of scriptures in life and ministry practice, fellowshipping one another around the word of God, corporate work of God, the worship toward God, fruitful in every good work and in the knowledge of God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And then we're building this kingdom. We're involved in the ministry of the Dream Team. We're inviting people who are lost, unsaved, and lonely, disconnected, backslidden, don't have a church home to come. We are intentional about that. We have an invitational culture within our own heart, within this house. And then we have an impact to our world of the gospel of Christ and giving our time, talent, and treasure and testimony without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, just flip it to the next slide. We'll just look at that scripture, but and we'll close. We're done. We'll just close right here. We'll close right here. Father God, let's stand. Let's stand. Praise God. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We thank you so good and gracious. Thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody, lift your hands up to God.